To begin with, I let it flourish in the castle gardens. I fed it new memories in a bid to eradicate all traces of what went before. The forest where it grew was to play no part in its future. I didn't want it to recall its capture and journey towards me. This was to be the offspring I never had. To do this, I implemented the program. Together we watched the films I would have wanted my child to see. I monitored its responses and those that evoked the strongest feelings I had recreated within the walled garden. My plant was a spy, a lover, a cowboy riding its horse through the desert. Together we took leisurely boat trips along the river as the orchestra played from the dukut. I fed it strawberries and gave it wine. We dined in a past it had never known, with characters that didn't exist. The table was made up of doctors and scientists, painters and actors. One of them had built the first train. At night we gazed at the stars through a super telescope. In time its green leaves became flesh. It developed digits and toes. This was no kitchen appliance. A series of eyes grew along its spine, and I had my personal physician remove the excess, so in the end, there were only two. Two doting eyes that loved only me, the new master. When it was ready, I had it fitted for a suit and took it to the cellar. We argued at the table. We hated one another. We fought. Blows were exchanged. It picked up a knife and tried to stab me as I lay sleeping in my armchair. An episode of a popular antique show playing on the monitor in front. This was far removed from Sunday detectives carrying handbags and looking for bodies under the rhododendrons. Our whole home was upturned. We slept against walls, walked on beds. The microwave shouted mantras that would soon be deemed hate crimes. Where grass once filled the lawn, now there were lizards stood upright on their hind legs and barking orders at dogs. Cars were toppled in the street, and a thick yellow mixture oozed from the cracks in the paving stones. A giant blackbird ravaged the sky, scalping townhouses, tearing church steeples from their consecrated grounds. I saw an army of Aspidistra consuming humans on a paddle steamer soaked in psychotropic substances. And when the dam bust, it flooded you. You had fire for hair and the maw of cattle. Each day and night, I made love to the plant in the cellar. Each day and night, I executed the man who would be king. start of the relationship, I let him do whatever he willed of me. I capitulated. In between taking the hedge trimmer to my body and calling me a cunt. He used to bathe me in water and kiss the tips of my leaves. Huddled in a cold, dark corner of the room and swathed in sweat, we embraced. The rats were envious of our bond. And it was in these post-coital moments, his body limp with exhaustion, a thin, hirsute arm laid across my swollen belly, his flaccid cock, a beached porpoise drooped across one thigh. He'd try and recite poetry to me. My eyes, my nose, feel my body inside you. Allow this death. You are at the hands of a burglar. His torch illuminating your dirty work surfaces and bedroom drawers, searching for jewels. You are the finest of these treasures. A plant so fine that a citadel be constructed in your honour in a faraway land. Who'd have thought a plant holding dominion over all other life. You are in his pocket as he makes a run for it. The rest of your family frozen by the door. Corner of the dungeon my suit lay moth-eaten. The fabrics were no more than sand. Despite my weakness from the bloodletting, beneath this flesh I was greener than ever. The lack of light fortifying my resilience. When the final tussle came, it was swift. On the day of reckoning, the procedure started as usual with some gentle petting. A cup of tea and a tune on the phonograph. Then the mist descended when he saw the state of my suit in the corner and his vigour intensified. Why are you not wearing that fucking suit? Do you know how much fucking suits like that cost? He took up whatever his mortal body could lift and hurled at me. With every bash to my being, I shed the human he had made me and gradually returned to plant matter. For a moment, the barrage of physical and verbal abuse stopped. As he saw me for what I was, a defenseless plant. He tried to kiss me again. The tempter was back. But it didn't matter. I wasn't for succumbing any longer. I had my fantasies too. And now he was on his front. My roots wrapped around his wrists and ankles, my leaves thrusting at his anus. He cooed, then yelped as he tore through his stomach. and I pulled his mouth wide so it split to his ears. "How'd you like this, Charlie boy?" I screamed, pummeling his body with a jackhammer's ferocity and slicing his penis clean off with a leaf. I only ceased in this onslaught when I felt my own body battering nothing more than the cellar's cobblestones, and I flailed in a pool of tattered offal. The blue and red lighting from the emergency service vehicles played across the exposed bodies slumped in the car, like clubbers at a strange and macabre disco. The passengers, barely breathing, were surrounded by fire operatives in yellow suits. The roof of the vehicle long since removed by the bird, who was putting it to good use in the nest it was making at the top of the nearby hospital. A trail of other motorized contraptions slowly passed the wreckage. Feeling their eyes with the dead and dying, the animals in the back seats leapt at the glass, thrashing and salivating at the thought of fresh blood, as the children beside them played computer games, and their parents argued about what radio station to listen to. The transmitter recorded the scene. Ashamed, I considered taking my own life. Then thoughts of escape and a new beginning flourished. But how could I? I was a plant sat in a cellar with a defiled and horribly mutilated royal in my presence, and no witness or alibi in my defence. The old deer with the handbag would be onto me in a flash. I'd be compost for sure. No, I wasn't for getting caught. Instead, I took what skin was left of him and crafted wings so I could fly high above these garden walls and far from the instruments of war. When I took off, I called for my flock in the houses below, but they never came. They were happy in their lives of afternoon cakes and tea, and sporting events broadcast on the TV, of friendly mother's tongue and father's time spent, pruning and clipping, keeping things just so. Appearances, you see. And how the neighbours fawned over my children. And so they bred, and bred, and bred some more, until all the towns and villages were tangled in my kin, and a solid green sea swept through suburbia. So long, my lovely. And on the edge of one city, after decades in the air searching for my forest origin, I saw a car crash. A film type and his family buckled in the wreckage. No doubt notes in the glove compartment explaining how a proper smash be shot. According to various news reports, he'd become distracted by an aspidistra flying alongside the road. I haven't seen one of those in years, the driver exclaimed, before flipping his motor. A powerful beast with more cylinders than sense. And family into the dike. When all was left was the morning stones, and the rooks had taken their feed. That's when we visited the crop circle. City lights dwindling on the horizon, like upturned bugs. I am the composer toiling behind my module, working out the modes. I create the green fields and the pylons, transmissions trapped in farmhouses by dual carriageways. Here the rabbits are grey sound with blue eyes scored against the day. Machines will try and take the rabbits, scoop them up with dirt and mud. Wires sprung and oil leaking, here we find a dud. The wee boy in the cellar rescues them by night. He will enter your subconscious with a rabbit's bite. Time for the farmhouse to disappear, along with the panting orchestra who screech to a halt in a car made from sex. Inside the Art Deco bungalow, an old woman and retired detective tended to her aspidistra by the hat stand in the porch. It had been part of the household for as far back as she could remember. "You're such a strong plant," she said, watering it. "I bet if you could talk, you'd tell some tales. Whether anyone believes them or not is another matter," she chuckled. Outside on the lawn, her grandchildren played among the sprinklers, and one of them sat on his own by the side of the garage, wondering what it would be like to be king. As blackened shadows formed in the neighbouring fields, and the transmitter, a relic from a war-torn era, opened its eye and came back to life.